Good evening and welcome to episode 28.
28.
We're going to need a bigger show. My name is Cameron B. Childs. Mike isn't with us here today. He has travel plans. So today we're going to talk about a Murfreesboro local happening called Burro Fondo.
Fondo.
With me, to my left is...
I am Ben Spencer.
And then straight ahead of me...
Philip Maloney.
And to my right...
Asher Johnson.
All right. So let's just dive straight in. Why don't y'all tell me what Burro Fondo is, what I could expect if I attended?
Well, it's a two-day bike and music and arts festival. Starting on Friday, we're going to start off at Mayday Brewery and have a show there. Then there's going to be a Critical Mass bike ride. That's the weekend of Critical Mass bike rides.
Now, explain Critical Mass.
In several cities, like across the country and maybe across other countries, I'm not sure.
I think it's international.
Okay.
But
it's like the last Friday of every month they do Critical Mass, which is just a big giant fondo, which fondo is like a big bike ride. And people just ride around in the cities as like a big mass, so it's called Critical Mass. But it falls on that same Friday that Burro Fondo is going to be starting, so we're having Critical Mass ride being incorporated into it, and then we'll end up down on the square for plays, and I think we got five venues doing music. And then Saturday, it's going to be starting off at Eisenhauser, and we'll have a nice... little kickoff party with Marco's Pizza breakfast, and then we're going to bike all around the city, seeing music, hearing stand-up, and seeing art, and then we're going to end up back down on the square again for more five venues having music and stuff, and good times being had.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's before we go any further, is there, like, a website?
There's burrofondo.com should be up before this gets on the interwebs.
Great. Is there a Facebook or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a Facebook event and a Facebook page to like, Burro Fondo.
Cool. Well, we'll mention that again at the end, but just to get all the important stuff out of the way.
There's also a tweeter for those who tweet.
Yes.
And there may or may not be an Instagram.
Oh, there may or may not
there
be an
may
Instagram.
Or may not.
That I think y'all should encourage people to do Instagram because
I wanted to set it up.
There was
up
a
the
lot of
day,
hashtag Burro Fondo last year.
Yeah,
I can't set it up because I have a Windows phone and there is no Instagram for Windows phone.
Huh. Really?
So I couldn't set it up. I tried to set it up.
That's weird.
2 days ago.
That's really weird.
Yeah, Windows phones, man. I love it, but there's no apps. Zero apps. Nobody I figured by now. Somebody would have developed
their app
Windows
store
phone
has
app
an under construction sign on it.
from the GeoCities days?
Yeah, it's a little GIF, three frames.
Yeah, the worker guy?
Yeah.
With the shovel? Yeah.
Okay, so that's ironic to me is I remember back in the 90s, Macintosh, everybody was like, oh, they're great computers. There's no software on them. You can't get software. Mm-hmm. So now... Shut up. So now it's... It's kind of the opposite in that the Windows... You say the Windows phone is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Yet there's no apps.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just waiting for
the times,
to catch up.
They are a-changing.
Yep. Who was first will soon be last.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I think that's what Jesus said when talking about the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
But speaking about social media, we have two people helping us out with that, and that would be the guys at murfreesboro.com. And the people at Do It 615, and so check them out. They have a bunch of shows to tell you about too. So
cool.
Yeah.
So I would like to know, and you guys talking about how you have kind of more support in terms of social media. It just reminds me that this is kind of like an evolving process, and it's probably been different. It's been growing each year. This is the third.
This is the second Burro Fondo.
Second. Okay. Uh-huh. Obviously, I get it confused with Tour de Fun.
Mm-hmm.
So
the predecessor.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the inspiration.
Right. So maybe we should go back a few years and talk about just how the idea started or, how Tour de Fun started and how it kind of sprang off.
It started with Tyler Walker, who, if you don't know who that is, you probably should because he makes good music and he gets stuff done and he's really fun. And
he goes by the moniker Meth Dad.
Yeah, Meth Dad is his project.
World's
right now.
Greatest Meth Dad.
Right.
He has a coffee mug and everything.
Yeah. So he started this, what, like 4 years ago?
Five. There was five. Three.
Yeah, he did three, France. And yeah, this would be the fifth total year. But so 5 years ago, he started it, and it was just his idea of riding bikes from house show to house show. To just kind of pack in as many as he could during the day. Mm-hmm. And it started small, but he grew it, you know, for 3 years. And I attended two of them, and they were awesome. Mm-hmm. They were real fun. And then last year, it came to our attention, you know, that Tyler had moved from Murfreesboro to Nashville, and he was not going to do Tour de Fun, and he was going to focus on some other stuff. And so Phil and Eric and I got together and decided, well, you know, it'd still be great to have a community bike ride in this town where we get to show off, you know, all the talented people that we know and just have a really fun day. And so we just decided to, you know, do it ourselves. And we asked for Tyler's blessing, and he was totally down with it. And so here we are today, you know, just kind of trying to make it grow, trying to make it a better thing every year and keeping it up, you know.
So what gives you the audacity to put yourself in charge of this?
Well, Eric had helped Tyler with Tour de Funs before, and I had been talking to him when he was still thinking about doing Tour de Fun last year. He was like, I'm in Nashville, I don't know how much I can get done. I was like, well, let me know, I'll help you with it. I was like, I can't do it all myself, but I was like, with like Eric and Asher and some people, we'll get it done. But then when he decided, like, he had South by South Friendies for South by Southwest last year, and he was working on tour stuff, and he's like, I just don't have the time to even mess with Tour de Fun this year. And so we're like, well, we want to keep doing it. He's like, well, I'm going to move Tour de Fun to Nashville. So, like, you guys can do any kind of thing you want to do, but just it's not going to be Tour de Fun because I'm revamping that and I'm going to keep that name for it and stuff. So it's like, all right, well, we're going to – everyone's going to be upset if they don't have their yearly giant bike ride fest that everyone's been used to having for the last couple of years. It's gotten bigger each year, and then Fondo got bigger than Tour de Fun was as far as bands and people and stuff. But
And, I mean, it's such a fitting thing for Murfreesboro, oh, yeah. I think, just with it being a college town.
Yeah, college town, flat terrain, there's so many venues with the end biking distance.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, yeah, it's so nice to ride bikes here.
If you
so
don't live in Murfreesboro, it's completely flat here. It's very weird because it's an eye of the storm, being hilly.
Tennessee,
yeah, southeastern United States.
So town happens to be built on a swamp, so it's flat.
Yeah.
You can leave your marbles all over the street. They don't even roll.
They won't go anywhere.
There's lots of blind people on campus because there's such a flat campus that they don't have.
Heard that.
Yeah, it's easy for them to get around.
Huh. I did not know that.
But yeah, definitely more.
I mean,
so.
I've definitely noticed there's lots of blind students, but I never put two and two together.
Yeah, that's what I had a teacher tell me. Apparently, it's like a lot of people come from out of state that are blind because it's easy for them to get to class, that it's like just a way easier experience to go to college.
Yeah, makes sense.
And but, they have a lot of the assistive technologies as well.
Yeah, like we do.
The enlarging Google of the screen things.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess
and
the
Braille keyboards.
Yeah.
Yep.
To talk about Tour de Fun some more, if you don't know, Tyler is revamping Tour de Fun this year, and he's doing it in Nashville. So if you have a chance to, you know, try out this new version of Tour de Fun, you totally should. It'll be 2 weeks before the Fondo.
Yeah, April 12th, I believe.
Yeah, April 12th. It's one day, and it's only on the east side of Nashville, which is the cool part, if you ask me. So yeah,
that's where all the former Murfreesboro people are anyway.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Lots of people from Murfreesboro have migrated to East Nashville. And so there's kind of this back and forth community. You'll see some of the same artists, you know, playing both festivals. And you'll see a lot of the same people because we're all friends and we all like to have a good time.
So. A bit of a diaspora.
Mm-hmm. But I think they're having like 30 bands. I think it's starting like around, it's either 10 or 11, and then it's going to like 8:30 or something and going to be at a bunch of venues in East Nashville.
So,
should be pretty cool.
Yeah, just to back up a little bit and talk about logistics. I'm interested in how this works and how you make it work. Going back to Critical Mass, because I remember when I was still in school, that being a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever took part, but I was kind of, I had gotten, taken my bike back up or whatever, and had started riding again. But I just remember being invited to it and that kind of stuff by the hipster kids in the class. And, in terms of police intervention or traffic or actual accidents. Do you guys know, like, if any of that was ever a problem just doing critical mass, like, you know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago?
I don't know. I've never heard of any accident stuff happening for critical mass. Like, for the Fondo, like, the actual ride on Saturday, the actual Fondo, we have permits and stuff, and we'll be talking to the traffic engineers and stuff and making sure any problem areas we have people to block off. But the critical mass is kind of its own thing anyways, and they don't get permits for it. So it's just we're kind of incorporating that into this. Sure.
A big thing with critical mass is really promoting safe bike riding,
yeah,
and like the ability to ride in groups together safely. So uh-huh. It's kind of a bit of an instructional experience as well for people, sure, who come to ride. It kind of, you know, you'll learn how to cork an intersection effectively to prevent accidents, yeah, and how to maintain control of a lane so that everyone in the group can ride safely without any accidents.
So there'll be some people...
So it's almost like a primer.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of
totally
like
a primer. That's how we're treating it this year, for sure.
Because it just happens to fall the day before the actual Fondo ride, and that's what we do. Like, last year we had to cork several intersections and do stuff like that for the not
now
busy
spots. Now explain
corking. Corking's when you have a biker come out, like, in the road and block off traffic. They're corking the road. They're, like, you know, being the cork at the end of the bottle. Like, okay, hey, I'm here. Like, we'll have them with staff things, our shirts on, reflective vests if it's dark and stuff. And so they're kind of like the blocker. Like, okay, hey. And they usually go up to people's windows like, hey, you know, we got a bike ride coming through. Just hold on a second and stuff. And everyone's usually cool about that.
Yeah.
But it's a bike term for blocking off an intersection.
Okay. Cool.
Cork it, man.
Yeah.
Cork it, bro.
We usually, like, we'll do another one this year, but last year for the bike staff, we do a trial run the week before where we bike it, like, stop at each stop along the route and be like, okay, what did you guys notice? Is there anything we need to be sure to fill people in on before we ride from this spot, and kind of just figure out, okay, if there's any trouble spots, like, oh, we're definitely going to have to cork here, or, oh, this should be easy, or, hey, you know, we took this route, why don't we take this route instead going on these back streets? And, like, we kind of figure out, make sure everything is going to be really easy and effective.
So is part of the strategy to stay off streets like Middle Tennessee, yes, and Greenland?
Yeah. All that stuff we have to pay a cop to block off for us.
I see. Yeah.
So when we were picking the route and stuff, a lot of that came into play because we were talking about going over past Mercury, but we'd have to get three officers.
It's a big expense.
Because we'd have to have someone block off Main before we got there. So we'd have to have one there and then two over there. We're like, well, that's going to cost way more money. How we've got things lined up, we'll only need to pay one officer for the day and probably only for 4 or 5 hours. And so it'll be way less expensive and way easier ride with less traffic to deal with.
Right. Okay. So in terms of venues, you talked a little bit about it, but what's your ratio, I guess, of, like, houses versus, you know, places like the borough or, you know, actual venues?
What do you think is, like, 60-40? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, it depends. Like, when we hit the square, there's, like, five venues that are there for the rest of the night. And, like,
and
that's kind of a different format than the whole rest of the entire day.
Sure.
The whole rest of the day, we stop at a place for an hour, you know, and then we move on to the next spot. And so...
We have the poorhouse in the borough and the handlebar, I think, are the only venues we hit during the day. And I think there's eight stops. So I think we have five other stops, or it might be six counting the kickoff. And two or three of them are block parties where there's three or four houses happening at once. So in the day, we probably have like 10 to 12 houses. I can't think. Something like that. 10 to 12 houses we hit. And then I guess a total of like eight venues. But the ones on the square will be hitting both nights. Mm-hmm. And then, I guess, nine venues with May Day.
Gotcha. Do you guys try to keep all the actual riding to daylight hours?
Yeah.
Is that like a... Okay.
It's definitely a thing. Like, as the sun goes down, it's common for more wrecks to occur.
Sure.
And we just want to minimize that. You know, we want to keep people as safe as possible.
And at Tour de Fun, too, there was a problem after it started getting dark. It was all at house venues of the houses getting shut down, which last year for Fondo, we had one complaint where people were trying to shut it down a house during the day but we had permits and it was fine. But once it gets past a certain hour, they don't care if you have permits, they'll still shut you down.
Yeah.
So by having all the houses and stuff in daylight hours, or mostly daylight hours, there might be like a half hour overlap. We don't have to worry about anything getting shut down. It's like, oh, everyone will get to play their spot. Like, everything will be fine. But if it was a lot of house shows in the middle of the night, there's no guaranteeing people are going to get to play their slots.
Yeah, yeah. I asked that because I remember one year playing Tour de Fun with Sleepy Pie Skulls.
So yeah,
that
was it was mean. Two. Yeah.
But the one I'm thinking of, we played... It was like one of those off streets of maybe it was Fairview or something.
It was on over off of Crestland, right?
It was on the corner of Fairview and Eaton, I think.
Yeah, and I think that got shut down.
Yeah, Pie Skulls played, Crayons and Antidotes played 30 seconds, and it got shut down. Right. The next two houses in a row got shut down, and then it all got moved to Hauselhof, this house right outside of city limits, because everything else got shut down in a row. And that's after that was when. Tyler had restructured it the next year to where they were pretty much at venues at night after that. And after seeing that happen and stuff at Tour de Fun 2, we're like, okay, we're going to do the same thing. Like, we're just going to have things at night at venues.
Yeah, that was interesting because, or I mean, just super memorable because the sun's going down or it already was down. And I just remember, you know, we had set up and we were ready to play and stuff. And you start seeing a couple bikes trickle in and a couple more. And then it was just a deluge. Like, it was ridiculous how many, the amount of people on bikes coming down that little street.
Oh, yeah, I was
street.
Filming it on my phone. I was like, this is crazy. There's like 600 people riding down the street on bikes. Like
a sea of people.
It's really amazing to just like sit there and watch it pass, too.
Yeah,
just,
it was just, amazing.
People come out of their house and just wave time. And look like what's going on and stuff. Like, it's fun.
So, if nothing else, Borough Fun is almost like it can be a spectator thing. If you just want to come out and see it, I would definitely recommend it because it's a rare sight for sure.
Sure, and even if you're not biking, you know, you could stop by at one of the spots, one of the stops, and check things out, watch everybody leave. Mm-hmm. It's just it's kind of a sight to behold.
And even coming out of the square at the end of the night, like because we'll be there for like 3 hours or something like that. It's a good time to drive out. Like the other spots, it might be kind of hard to get from spot to spot, but there's going to be like 15, 20 bands all playing on the square within 3 hours that you can get down there and see a bunch of awesome bands. We got some cool touring bands and a bunch of Nashville and Murfreesboro bands. Like, it's all going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And as far as the ride actually goes, it's not that strenuous. So if you ride a skateboard, you can keep up, you know. And we've even had people jog and keep up. Like, you've definitely seen guys running from spot to spot. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, if you keep up with the crowd, you know, the ride's not hard. So, you know, just enjoy yourself how you like, you know. But
Razors welcome.
Sure. Razor scooters? Yeah, man. I mean, if you bust out some crazy tricks on your Razor scooter, I'm sure you'll get a high five or two.
At least two.
Yeah.
But I think the whole ride is, like, around 10 miles, but there's several stops, like, I think like 9 stops or something like that. So you're rarely going more than a mile. Like, and a lot of times it's less than a mile from spot to spot, like a couple blocks. So you're getting your exercise throughout the day, but it's all kind of like spaced out into 10, 15 minute rides from spot to spot.
Yeah. Cool. Over flat.
Yeah. Area. Flat areas.
Yeah. So we were talking about getting shut down and permits and all the logistics.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to say too much if you don't want to, but what's been your experience in general with law enforcement?
They've been really supportive of it, actually. Like, last year we had some stuff that we thought was filled out and filed right and stuff that they said we needed to get an additional thing in that usually it takes 2 weeks. But I went and I talked to Sergeant Snyder, and he walked me over from where he was at to a different building where we had to get some stuff taken care of. And he kind of, like, for about an hour and a half or 2 hours, like, helped me run around and get everything finalized.
Wow.
And then we had to drop it off. It's like county clerks or someone, and he's like, it might be tomorrow before it gets done. And then by the end of the day, he called me back and left me a message. Hey, it's all taken care of. You can come pick up these permits if you need copies tomorrow. And we got it all taken care of like a few days before the fest, like last minute things. And so, I mean, they were pretty supportive of it. When we were down at the square last year, the Saturday night, there was a bunch of bikes like parked all over the place and stuff, and I saw a cop
stuck up in trees.
Yeah, people like were trying to make room for their bikes, and I saw a cop taking pictures and stuff. I was like, "Oh, and we need to get people to move some of this. Is it a problem?" They're like, "No, we're just seeing what to expect for next year." But I never heard any complaints. I think they were just like, hey, take some pictures and let us know what we're expecting down in the square. But
yeah,
we've got some.
Or hey, can you believe this?
Yeah,
I need something for posterity.
Yeah, but I think we've got a couple areas right off the square they're going to let us use their parking lots, some businesses for parking bikes, and we're going to try to get a couple racks out there and stuff.
Nice.
And I will say at the I was present at the one house where they tried to we had a noise complaint and they called the police and the officer came over and he was was very polite and easy to work with once we showed him the permits that was that and he left us to ourselves and
I called and gave them the permit number. They said okay, we won't respond to any calls for another 2 hours. Like we'll be off the street in an hour. I'm like okay, and I just let them know where we're going after that and if they call there, I guess don't respond. I'm like okay, I'm like you got the permits, all right.
Yeah, I think I'm no cop lover.
Yeah,
but. I think there is a misconception about the attitude of Murfreesboro policemen. Every time I've been around situations, they always seem to just be trying to do their job and not really. Well,
there's
much
a couple
else.
Exceptions, there, but no, the bulk no, of
for
them.
Sure, for sure. Yeah. I think there are some that are maybe new, or some that are just in a bad mood or whatever. But most of my experiences have been just guys who are like. Look, here are the rules we have to abide by in order to keep our jobs and whatnot. So we need you to do this, and we need you to do it now, and all that kind of stuff. Most of the time, it seems pretty mild in terms of attitude that they actually bring into the situation. Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm not going to name names, but I do know several officers on the force that play in rock bands around town.
Interesting.
And so, there are definitely, guys on the force that are cool with people having fun and, being responsible about it.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen times at house shows where they'll come out and shut everything down and kind of be in an ill mood, but that's kind of, usually they show up and they're like, don't make us come back out here, we're going to fine you. And there's been a couple times where they've come out two or three times before they've actually shut it down.
Yeah.
But sometimes they'll shut it down the first time, but a lot of times it'll be make it quieter or keep everyone inside, or if we have to come back out here again, we're going to fine you. And then they're like, okay, we already have to come back here once, we're not going to fine you, but don't make us come out again.
Sure.
But
With shutting down the house shows is kind of
a tradition.
Yeah. A tradition might be a way to put it.
Good times until the cops shut us down.
Yeah. It's the gauntlet, man. Everybody's got to deal with that sometime.
Yep.
If your house show gets shut down, that means it was probably pretty good.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, the first house we lived in out here in Murfreesboro was kind of out past the airport. So I don't know if it's the northern end of town or what, out towards
The northern side.
DeJarnett and all that.
Yeah.
But we had two or three house shows that were loud as loud can get. Like if y'all ever saw Evil Bebo's.
Oh yeah.
that was like a crushing metal band.
That was the loudest band I ever had at the Casa de Juan. Was Evil Bebo's.
And they just sound loud. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just remember being outside and being kind of like, I don't know about this, but nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, we were on an acre, so it wasn't it is in downtown Murfreesboro where everything's kind of packed, but that never happened there. But then I've definitely lived in houses since then just for practicing at 7 p.m. You'll get somebody called on you. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah. Also this year, there's going to be camping for people who are out of town or people who just want to camp at Eisenhauser, where we're going to have the kickoff. And there's going to be some kind of special things going there after everything's done both nights that we should have shuttle services to help people down there if they're because it's kind of a bike ride, and ways to get people's bikes down there, too. It's looking like we should be able to.
Nice.
Have cab vans pick people up, and then we should have a trailer to haul people's bikes down there so they can do what they need to after everything's over. But there should be a couple good surprises down at Eisenhauser this year.
That's awesome, man. Really. Another thing I wanted to ask about was whether, because I know I want to say it was Tour de Fun, but I remember sometimes local businesses kind of having a hand in it, Moab or something.
Mm-hmm.
Moab is our bike store. So is there anything going on like that this year?
Yeah, I think we had more sponsors last year than we have right now. But just mostly because I think we've done better with funding this year to where we don't really rely as heavily on it.
See, yeah.
But Smoopies is they're closing down. Smoopies sponsored us last year, but they're still sponsoring with some stuff for raffles and stuff. But then we've got the promotion people, Do It 615, Murfreesboro.com, the Pulse are all sponsoring. Then the venues are sponsoring. And
Legacy Inc. is providing some swag. Yeah. I'm not sure what the exact swag is, but they're helping us out with that.
And like maybe t-shirts or something?
We said bandanas or sweatbands or something along that line.
Yeah, Works Group is sponsoring and doing our t-shirts and stuff for us. Nice. So we'll be getting that. It seems like we got more people sponsoring with goods and services this year, which is really cool.
Money?
Yeah, cool. Which we had money left over from last year. We've done a fundraiser and stuff, and so we're doing okay without having to rely too heavily on people giving us funds, but it ends up getting more like free stuff for participants or like cheap stuff for participants.
Mm-hmm.
And like Marco's coming out and bringing pizzas and stuff that they're going to like give us some staff pizzas and stuff and sell pizza breakfast. And they're going to be, I guess, like two spots throughout the day.
Yeah, I'm curious about pizza breakfast. What does that mean?
They're going to come.
It's like pizza.
I want it.
Yeah. For breakfast.
Yeah.
Well, we're starting earlier this year than last year. We started at like 11, but since everyone's going to be camping at Eisenhauser and it's starting at Eisenhauser, we're going to start at 10 with a wake-up call by the Armada. That's going to make everyone get out of their tents.
Yeah, you will not be asleep when Philip Maloney's Armada hits the speaker.
Can you give us the whole band name?
Philip Maloney's Armada featuring Herman Menderchuk, a.k.a. Big Ballin, City Streets, Cash Money, Hustle, and Flow Dog, 1800, featuring Dr. Money Sign, pronounced Vote No Mo Money. Woo! Yeah.
And Ric Flair.
But I think by like 10:30 or 11, they're going to have the breakfast actually happening, and they're going to have a tent, and they're going to be doing a special breakfast pizza that they're making that I think is like the white cheese sauce instead of tomato sauce, and then it's going to be like bacon, ham, and sausage.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and they'll have like individual slices for sale and stuff. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, so we're having that going. And then when we get to a Harrison block party later on in the day, they're going to be set up again with probably just regular pizzas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And well, last year we had a few food trucks. I'm sure are going to be out again and stuff this year. So there'll be stuff to eat. And the handlebar has great food. And the borough has great food. The venues out on the square have great food. So, or at least I know Three Brothers does food.
Yeah, Three Brothers got food.
I don't know if any of the other ones do.
Wall Street has some food during the day.
Yeah, I don't.
But I honestly don't know when their kitchen closes.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, I don't know.
It's pretty good though.
Yeah, it's
they make good food. When it's there.
I haven't had it yet.
So what? Okay, so I'm assuming Three Brothers and Wall Street.
Uh-huh.
You just said those. But what other venues on the square?
There's Social, Level 3. We will have two floors of entertainment. So upstairs and downstairs. And
that's,
then
that
Wall Street
formerly the
Aura Lounge.
Aura Lounge.
I almost said Aqua Lounge.
Yeah.
That's just stupid.
They got new ownership and stuff. And we did Aura Lounge last year, and the new owners, they're super into it too this year.
Yeah,
so
they're pretty nice people over there.
Nice.
More on the venues. You've also got a Two-Town Art Gallery is going to be having some stuff up for people to check out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about stuff that isn't music that you guys are going to do. Like,
well, Two-Tone will have a bunch of art on display in their art gallery.
Where is Two-Tone?
Two-Tone is on Lytle Street, right up near the square, like half a block away.
Gotcha.
And actually, I just secured a parking lot across the street, like directly from Two-Tone, that will let us park our bikes there overnight. So we'll be parking right in front of Two-Tone, walking to the square, and there'll be an art show right there that you can just pop in and check out, and it'll be awesome.
And the in-between May Day and the stuff on the square on Friday, people can go check out the gallery if they're not doing the Critical Mass or if the Critical Mass gets there in time. And then Saturday, I think we're planning on having 15 or 20 minutes of where we show up before anything starts on the square, to where people are encouraged to just check out the art galleries, park their bikes, check out art, and then work their way to the square.
Also, Russ's house will be a featured art spot. He will have art hanging up and displayed at his house.
So it'll just look like his house normally does.
Yeah,
but with more art and with Scott Fernandez, and that'll be cool.
He'll be playing in the backyard, and then the inside will be all the art and stuff, and it'll be during a block party that there'll be a couple shows happening on Ewing, and it looks like we might have another show right next to Russ's house that they just hit us up that their house is right by there and they're wanting to do it.
Cool.
So
cool.
It might be four things going simultaneously, but it should be pretty cool.
Okay, so we've talked about music and art. Did you, you said something about stand-up, right?
Yeah, we're planning on having some stand-up and some plays. It looks like we just found out that someone booked the courthouse before we got it for Saturday. That we'll probably be able to get it after 10, but there's like a VFW PM? Fundraiser thing. Yeah.
Okay.
That we'll be there from like at 9 or so, so it might not cut too much into it. But at least on Friday, we should be having some 10-minute plays happening down there.
Nice.
And some stand-up. We're going to try to have some stand-up throughout the day when there's like some set changeovers where it's applicable, because a lot of the spots, it's ping-ponging to where it's like two stages or something like that, where there's always a band playing. But if we have like a good 10-minute set, we can give a stand-up guy time to do some stand-up in between songs. That'd be cool to have throughout the day as well, so it's not all just at the same spot.
Yeah. That's like some classic stuff, because I remember seeing some footage of like a comedian open up for Frank Sinatra.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't seem to be very common anymore, but I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always liked about Murfreesboro, is there seems to be a diversity on most bills around town, at least in recent memory, of for me anyway. You know, it's not unusual to see like a metal band with like a weird like circusy jazz band or something like that.
Like who?
So, like Mac OS and Tron playing a show.
I don't like going to shows where it's all the same genre, because generally, when it comes to metal especially, I can't listen to an entire metal album, usually. So, like, if I were to have two or three metal bands back-to-back, after a while, I'm just going to be like,
My ears are bleeding.
Yeah.
We're so, getting old, Cam.
Yeah, I guess. But, yeah, I definitely appreciate the diversity and bills and stuff. Right. But I mean, with Burro Fondo, you not only have that, but diversity of
entertainment.
What the entertainment is.
Yeah.
And isn't there something about 10-minute plays that
that's what I just said.
Oh, okay.
But
is that related to, like,
Just talking about stand-up? I'm sorry.
I mentioned...
He talked about that.
Right. But is it related to Little Theater?
Is it related to Little Theater or anything? Just people putting them on?
I do playwriting, and I talked to Dr. Barnett at MTSU. She's the playwriting teacher for the English department. She's great. And I talked to her before the semester started about what we were doing. And so she assigned as one of the projects for the class, they have to... The like name of the project is On the Courthouse Steps. And so everyone has to write a play set at a courthouse. That way, if they want to do it for this, they already have their setting, that they don't have to bring, you know, stuff to set up or whatever.
Nice.
And it won't... It'll actually, like, look like they have a stage.
Yeah.
So... we're trying to get people from them and their class involved in doing stuff. And I'm also going to talk to Dr. Anderson again to see if any of her, because she teaches the playwriting in the theater department, if any of them want to perform anything, because it doesn't have to be set there, but it kind of works well if you've got a good background for what you're doing.
Yeah.
But we should have some cool plays happening, and just, we have so many different types of artists here in Murfreesboro, with it being a liberal arts college town, that we're trying to kind of like focus on what everyone's doing and include everyone.
And it's like, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
And it just kind of makes it bigger, makes it more things to more people. And where some people, like I've talked to some people, like some teachers and stuff of mine, who are like, oh, I'm going to come out for the plays and like the poetry and stuff. But I don't know, like live music kind of like gets a winner or something like that. And like other people just like, oh, I just like, I want to see a bunch of bands and like get drunk.
Some people just want to go on a bike ride.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people just want to go on a bike ride.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a few more things that we're going to have going on. You've talked about some pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah. This is kind of a bombshell.
Cultural explosion.
No one's going to believe this, but this year, the final is going to be huge. That we've got some pretty big name people doing some stuff. I believe it's going to be on Saturday. We're going to have Thom Yorke and the Radioheads. You heard me right. Beach Boy.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan signing Space Jam memorabilia. Only Space Jam memorabilia. Michael Jordan.
Do not bring your Chicago Bulls memorabilia.
No.
Or your Chicago White Sox memorabilia.
Only Space Jam. And get this, a skateboard ramp down at the square.
This sounds pretty sick, bro.
Right?
I mean, like, sick.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be huge. Michael Jordan with Thom Yorke and the Radioheads, it's going to be crazy.
Paranoid Cyborg is one of my favorites.
It's a good one.
From them.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I like an national anthem.
Yeah. High and Fly is one of my favorite tunes.
I like that. It's good. So if there are any more artists, poets, things of that nature, like, first of all, your bands are pretty much
done, right? The band lineup set.
Okay. If people want to hear those bands,
we're going to have the mixtape up. It might be up before this podcast is up. If not, it'll be within the week.
Okay.
But at spaceshipstudios.com, we'll have the mixtape up. And it'll also it'd be linked on burrofondo.com to where you
can. And there will be physical copies available at the fest in either CD or cassette tape format if you want those. So,
nice. You know. I love the mixtape every year. It's always so fun just to hear talent here. I mean, I know home recording is a lot easier than it used to be or whatever, so maybe I'm comparing it unfairly, but it just always seems like things are always getting better in Murfreesboro in terms of quality, you know?
When I was planning a Toronto tour thing for, like, last year or year before, I was just checking out a bunch of bands in cities we're going to, like, hit up. No one in any, like, places like Chicago and stuff, no one had as good a quality as, like, even kind of, like, the lower quality bands here. It was like, wow, like, we're actually, I didn't realize how good this town is at, like, making music, like, recording music.
The depth of the talent pool here is fairly impressive.
It's really talented people live here, and we keep getting smarter, and we keep getting better, and we keep working harder, and so stuff just turns out better, you know?
Yeah, so if y'all get a chance, definitely check out the mixtape. It's good every year. I mean, y'all have done ones apart from Burrofondo, and I've enjoyed those as well. But also, if you're just, it's kind of a binary situation. You're like, I can do this, but I can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, figure out, listen to those bands and be like, oh, I dig this one and go see it. Because
there will be spots where it's like there's only one band playing at a time. But there's many, like when it gets to the square and the block parties, where you have to choose between seeing three or four bands.
Sure.
But usually by that point, there's so many people, no one would fit into any of the spots anyways. So it's kind of out of necessity.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Cam Childs here is a video wizard. And he made this awesome promo video for the Fondo. And it's really cool. There's like this guy riding a bike.
Don't tell him.
Well, okay. Anyway,
there's no one
hilarious.
On any bikes. Maybe.
It's a hilarious video. And where can you find it?
I'm
Cam?
Winking into the microphone.
If you just search Burrofondo 2014 on YouTube, I'm pretty sure you can find it.
There you go.
Also, you know, if you can find any of us on Facebook,
it'll be on the Burrofondo website too.
Yeah, it was Philip's concept.
Well, Ben's concept, but I wrote it and kind of altered it.
I see, but yeah, I liked last year's, but this one's also a lot of fun.
Yeah,
just a good time. Carter's such a good sport. And,
he is
and willing to do anything.
He's a mere mortal,
and give it the appropriate amount of hamminess. So I'm glad he did that. But yeah, going back to anybody else that wants to contribute, like, what can they do?
Yeah, if you've got some sort of talent, or, you know, you want to read poetry, you want to work on a play, or, you know, do any sort of, you know, juggling, breathing fire, I don't know, whatever you want to do.
Sword swallowing.
Yeah.
We also could use some more acoustic acts, too, that we can fit in if people want to play acoustically. We got a few slots where we could make that work.
Yeah. Cool. Just shoot us an email, you know, write down the subject line, what you're thinking, and hit us up at burrofondo@gmail.com.
If you've got art you want to display, send it, subject art. If it's, you know, acoustic music. If it's poetry. And
I'm really hoping to get some more poets, because poetry's pretty new.
Yeah, we had some good poetry last year. But yeah, burrofondo@gmail.com.
All right, so those are our pertinents. The email address you just mentioned, burrofondo.com, is that right? And then, as far as you mentioned Murfreesboro.com and all that, those are your...
Those are helping us with social media and promotion.
Gotcha. So, I would assume if you guys don't start an Instagram account, you'll at least have the hashtag.
Well, somebody's starting an Instagram account.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it the other day. We're definitely getting that.
But yeah, gotcha.
I just couldn't get it done myself.
We should be having two on Twitter all day. People keeping people up to date, like, hey, we're at this spot now, like, there's gonna be a lineup and everything that we can follow.
That's awesome.
You can follow that at Burrofondo.
But there'll be everything will be at burrofondo.com, the whole schedule. But if, and we'll be handing out schedules, but if you're like, you get off the route and you're not sure what's happening, you just want to look on Twitter, you can find updates of where people are at and who's playing
in real time.
All this stuff is on point. Y'all are organized.
Well,
not that I had any doubts, but I mean, especially with the social media aspect and keeping everything you know, on schedule, letting people know, you know, moment to moment.
Yeah, we've got about 75 bands this year, which is huge, because I think when Tour de Fun started out, I think it was around 30, and last year's Fondo was like 65, which we thought was kind of crazy, and now it's like 75, at least, not counting all the acoustic acts we're going to have and stuff. So, I mean, you can probably expect to see over 80 musical acts in a two-day DIY completely free festival.
Yeah.
And one thing about that is, you know, one of the main reasons that it's been getting better every year and there's been more participation and more people are interested is because all these people that are making it happen, not us, but, you know, all these bands, all these, you know, creative people, like all these painters, all these, you know, performing artists, everyone is awesome. And I just want to shout out to all of you. Thank you so much for creating beautiful stuff that is awesome. And, like, just thank you so much.
That's worthy of throwing a fest around.
Like, that's the whole point of this fest, is because you guys are awesome, and I just want everyone to know that. And, you know, so thank you. Just thank everybody.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm not thanking anybody. No, no, all of you.
I did all this.
Yeah, we've had a lot of help. It's not been just us.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know there are more people on the team that aren't here, but definitely did a lot to get it happen.
And I think all of us would like to think that if we weren't doing it, then someone else would
totally
take care of it.
Because this needs to be a thing that kind of keeps going for a minute.
I agree.
All right, forever.
Guys.
Forever.
All right. That's enough of that. It's never really enough of that, but I enjoy it.
There's not enough time in the world for enough of that.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. You are very correct. So, guys, we're going to close it down for... we're going to need a bigger show. This has been...
See ya.
No, your name.
Oh, he said this is Ben, but his name is Ben.
Gotcha.
So he was confused and thought he was like, this has been Ben, and he's like, hey.
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
No, this has been, B-E-E-N.
Yeah.
This is Ben.
What's your last name?
I don't know. Oh, God, the pressure. Spencer. That was it.
Yeah, I was Ben Spencer. I'm Philip Maloney.
And I'm Asher Johnson.
And this is Cameron B. Childs. See y'all next time.
Damn. Woo!